The question was asked, if a child asks his parent, if I didn't get a good grade, did I sin?
Yes.
So what would be the correct answer to that? And as an adjunct to that, the question was asked also, in life, is there a middle ground between sinning and not sinning? Is every action that we do either this or that?
Yes.
So let's begin with the first question, and we'll see where we go to with the second one, which Michael Makovi once showed me a nice, interesting piece on that. So I think that in answering the first question, we have to think of who we are talking to. And this opens up a whole question of how much does God enter the chinuch of our children? So on the one hand, we want our children to be aware that they are performing mitzvot and that God is looking at them. They're supposed to perform correctly. On the other hand, sometimes we can use this in a way that's detrimental to our child. If we keep telling him and stressing how Hashem is looking at him, and if you don't get a good grade, you're sinning, and if we make every action of his into a mitzvah or a sin, then I'm not sure a child can develop healthily under such pressure. So we have to think not only of what is correct, but also what is correct to tell the child. It's true that we want to teach a child it's a mitzvah to say kiddush. It's a mitzvah to say a blessing before you eat food. It's an aveira to hit. It's an aveira to steal. Certain things, yes, we're telling him these morals are not our morals. These morals are the way Hashem created the world, and this is what Hashem wants us to do and not. But is it necessarily correct to tell a child, do a mitzvah and clean up your room before you go to sleep? So I've heard parents say that. I can't say they're wrong. You know, each person is entitled to do what he sees fit. But I question, what's the big mitzvah in it? And so a parent once raised this issue with me, and they said, well, I asked him to clean up the room, so it's a mitzvah. This brings us to another aspect, which I think requires thought, and I'm a little bit partial, but if you're hearing me, so I'm telling you, you're hearing someone who's partial on this one, a little bit. I feel that Chazal taught us, again, I'm partial, but this is my understanding in Chazal, bias. That we have to be very careful when we take an issue that we ourselves have sentiment toward. We have to be very careful before we involve God in such an issue. It's very easy when we have an argument to bring God into the picture. Let's take a simple case. We're sitting at the table and there's one piece of meat left. And I tell my wife, I say, I gotta go learn. I need koach. I need that piece of schnitzel. You want more Torah to be learned than Am Yisrael, don't you? Now, that's a very obvious case. But if my wife would hear that, so she might, I don't know if my wife would say, but a wife could say, well, I'm doing all the mitzvahs, I'm taking care of the children at home. You want the children to have a mother that has koach. I simplified it. But the truth is that there are many, many instances where we feel like the truth is that God is on my side. I am saying what God wants. And we have to be very careful. Rabbi Feinstein once pointed it out to me and with regard to certain gemarot. There's a gemara where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asked Rabbi Yeshua a question, and after he asked him the question, he went to Rabbi Gamliel and asked him the same question. Rabbi Gamliel gave him the opposite answer. They brought the question before all the students, and then Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, stand up, let them testify against you. And Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi Yeshua, did you really tell Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai what he says? So Rabbi Yeshua says a very funny line. Now, Rabbi Yeshua was one of the most pious people we had. Rabbi Yeshua gave lectures. It says when he passed away, the lectures, all the levels of the lectures went down. Rabbi Yeshua was such a great sage that when he was going to pass away, the rabbis asked him, how are we going to deal with the Christians? You're the only one who's sharp enough in all the areas of the Tanakh that you always have answers for them. What are we going to do? He was a big, big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yeshua. And when he was asked by Rabbi Gamliel, Tell us, Yeshua, did you or did you not say differently this morning? What does Rabbi Yeshua say? He says, well, if he were dead and I were alive, I could lie. But he's standing right here, so I can't lie. So you read that Gemara and you say, that's Rabbi Yeshua. What do you mean? The only reason you're not lying is because he's sitting here? So Rabbi Feinstein explained it to me the following way. He said, sometimes we have situations where we'd like to say the reason I'm doing this, the correct thing, the reason I'm doing it is because I'm a good person. I wouldn't do otherwise. But the rabbis always were careful to say, maybe I don't have another option. They didn't take the credit for themselves. I'm not doing it because I'm a God-fearing person. I don't know what I would do in a situation where he wasn't standing here. Maybe I wouldn't admit. So he's here. I'm admitting the only reason I know I'm admitting is because he's here. I'd like to think I'm on the level that I wouldn't lie otherwise. We have a similar thing with Rachel and Leah. Yaakov calls them out to the field and he says, look, things are going really bad with your father and God told me to go home. Rachel and Leah say, yeah, things are really bad. Our father's been trying to cheat us all this time and things, thank God, they worked out okay, but we have no reason to stick around here. All economic reasons, all logistic reasons point for leaving. So listen to God. Do whatever God told you. So you read that and you say, these are the matriarchs. The first thing they say is, it makes sense financially, it makes sense logistically. Then they say, okay, being that it makes sense, so listen to God. And if it didn't make sense, what would they say? So Rabbi Feinstein said it's the same principle. They were very careful to be honest. They didn't come into the conversation and say, well, God said so, so do it. They said, listen, Yaakov, we have to be honest with you. Everything points in that direction. So we have every reason, we have every bias for going that route. Obviously, we want to listen to God, but we're also acknowledging the fact that we ourselves are biased in that direction. I think it's important that we acknowledge our biases, and also with regard to our children. And that's why I think it's unfair to take a child and put him in a situation where, so to speak, God is on my side. Because what I'm doing then is I'm overlooking my bias, and I'm doing another thing that's a little bit dangerous. I'm also putting the child in a situation where if he doesn't listen to me, it's not only that he didn't listen to me, he didn't listen to God. I don't think that's so good. A child has to know that God is in his life, and God did tell us what to do. At the same time, we have to temper the areas where we bring God into the picture, because if it'll be everything, then we're I think, applying too much pressure to the child. And I think we're also being unfair, because we don't live our lives that way either. It's not like we look every minute and say, well, does God want me to leave a mess after I finish eating breakfast or not? Does God want me to go to sleep without cleaning up my room or not? We don't do that. We can't live our lives that way. How could we expect it of our child? And I think our child will also see through it and see our own bias. And then he'll be disgusted with everything. So I think from all perspectives, as far as the child, I don't think it's an issue of sin or not sin. There's an issue if we're going to talk as far as what's right and not as far as what I tell the child. There is an issue that, and Rabbi Feinstein writes this in one of his responses, he says, when they asked him about having secular studies in the yeshivas, he says, whatever they do, they should do well. There's an issue of training ourselves to do things correctly. If I'm going to take a course, I might as well excel in the course. If I'm going to sit in the classroom, I might as well understand what's going on well. Why should I waste my time? Whatever I'm going to do, I might as well do it well. And perfection is a habit. If we get into the habit of excelling, then we'll excel in everything we do. So it's a habit we should develop. But to say that if I didn't do well on my grades, I didn't do well in this class, so I sinned, or to tell a child, look, that's a sin, so I don't think that should be said to a child. I don't think so. Of course, when a child is older, let's say he's in 7th grade or 9th grade, so we could explain to him this concept, even in 5th grade, even in 4th grade. Most children can understand you have to get into the habit of doing things well. If you're going to take a class, then do it well. No one's saying you have to take every class, but whatever you do, you might as well do well. Now, a person can sometimes say, I'm going to go, and whatever I get out of it, I'll get out of it. I'm not going for the 100, I'm going to get whatever information. Fine, that's a conscious decision. We're not talking about, because you took the course, so you have to do all the homework and get 100. I know many times in classes, I took classes and I said I could work my head off and get 100, or I could get a 90 and have another 3 hours at home. I'd rather have the 3 hours to learn and do other things with my time. And I think that's correct. I think that sometimes, who says you need the 100? The principal came to me once in 10th or 11th grade and said, you know, if you work hard, you're going to be top of the class. I said, I know. Okay, wasn't worth it. I wasn't interested. I'd much rather learn Torah. I have other things to do with my time. Why should I waste my time to be top of the class? Okay, other people, it was important to them. It wasn't important to me. And I think I was ready in high school. I think it was correct. I think that's a correct attitude. We don't necessarily have to push our kids to be top. But whatever they do, they should do well. That's with regard to a child asking, is it a sin if I don't do well in the class? A person also has to know what a child's capable of doing. We don't need to push a child to feel like he's a failure. Tests are given without consideration to each child's specific ability. And sometimes the child needs the boost. You did the best you could, if that's the truth. So that's as far as that. The other question, let's really leave for a separate question and answer.